Matthew 28, from verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, saying, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. And I say, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now, there are things you need to pick out there. First of all, I told us, something we're going to see, is the fact that when he says, baptizing them. We say that word baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost was not in the original. And it wasn't written. I mean, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost actually means baptizing them in my name. And it is not water baptism. Hallelujah. I wasn't talking about water baptism. Glory to God. It's the same thing that Mark will now read in Mark 16. Look at Mark 16, from verse 16. And he said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel. Did you see that? Said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. It's not water baptism. Hallelujah. The he that believes not shall be that. It means to be born again is to be baptized into Christ. Baptized there means to be immersed in the new birth. Hallelujah. It says, so he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned, condemned. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, he that believes not shall be condemned. He says, and this sign shall follow them that believe. Mark 16. He says, in my name they will cast out devils. Say they will speak with new tongues. Say they will take up serpents. And if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Say they will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. So remember, I told us that this will be Jesus' instruction to them within the 40 days. Right? Jesus gave them instruction. Within that 40 days, when Jesus resurrected, he came to his disciples and he taught them. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24. 24 from verses 25. But I will take it a bit before 25. And let us give you the background to verse 25. Jesus appeared to two of his disciples on their way to Emmaus. He saw two of his disciples. They were on a journey and they began to talk. And they were talking about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Jesus showed up in their midst and asked them, what are you talking about? And they asked, and they answered him, are you a stranger? You know what I mean by Jew, not Jew from Israel. Have you been around? You don't know what has been happening in town about concerning Jesus Christ. He said, who was mighty in this? Said, today is the third day, and some of the women in our midst came and amazed us that they did not find his body. Verse 25, look at what Jesus says to them. He says, all fools and snobs have to believe in all the prophets have spoken. So this is, he says, all of the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. So look at what Luke said Jesus did to those two guys on their way to Emmaus. Verse 27, Luke 24. He says, and beginning at Moses. Moses, when he said beginning at Moses, it means Jesus started teaching them from Genesis. He said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. So what Jesus did to them on their way to Emmaus, which was like a Sabbath day journey, he was teaching them the scriptures. Did you see that? Jesus taught them scriptures, taught them the Bible, which is Genesis down to Malachi. Jesus taught them the scriptures concerning himself. Did you see that? Amen? Look at verses 44. Verse 4 was a larger crowd. So what did he do to them? He says to them, this were the words. He appeared to them and said to them, these were the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. What did Jesus do to them again? He was teaching them. Did you see that? Verse 25, and he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you see, then he said, thus it is written, and thus it beholds Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name. Now, something you need to see. What was Jesus doing within that 40 days? He was teaching them. This was after he resurrected. Hallelujah. He was teaching them. Hallelujah. He was teaching them. So, in the course of teaching them, he gave them instructions. Go make disciples. Hope you're following me. Go make disciples.
Repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. What will Matthew call it? Go raise disciples. Go preach the gospel. Go raise disciples. Repentance and remission of sins. What did Mark call it? Is Mark says, go preach the gospel. Did you see that? Go preach the gospel. What would Luke call it? Luke would say, repentance and remission of sins, they preach. It's the same thing. That is to say, the gospel is the gospel of God's forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. The gospel is God's forgiveness of sins. So that means, forgiveness of sins is not when you see that, say, Lord, I forgive all my sins. No, that's not forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is what has happened to a man that believes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When a man believes the gospel, look at John 20, the same instruction, John will put it this way, John 20, 22. And he said to them, I mean, John 20, 22, quickly. Let's get it. Quick. Amen. John 20, 22. And he said to them, I mean, when he said this to them, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, whosoever sins you forgive, are forgiven. He whosoever ye retain, are retained. You know what some people have taken this scripture to be? Look up here. Some people have taken it to be, okay, let's go and meet the priest. We'll go to church, meet the priest, you stand somewhere, and then the priest covers your face, and then you confess your sins to the priest. And because the Bible says, whoever sins, your priest forgive. No, that's not what John is saying. Remember, we've read, Jesus said in Matthew, go make disciples. Luke will record it as preach the gospel, right? Right? What will Luke, Mark call it preach the gospel. What will Luke call the gospel? The gospel is God's forgiveness of sin. Repentance and remission of sin. Remission of sin does not mean forgive you today and God will remember it tomorrow. No. Forgiveness, there's the word to remission, there's the word atiemi, which means to throw it away, to destroy it. Hallelujah. It does no longer stand. You don't have a record of sin, past, present, and future. With God. Hallelujah. So he says you'll be preached. So that means when a man now believes, God will now say, that man's sins is forgiven. So when he says whosoever sins they forgive are forgiven, where would that happen? When a man believes the gospel, his sins are forgiven him. So when a man does not believe the gospel of Christ, the gospel when a man does not believe the gospel that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again to live in our heart. If a man doesn't believe the fact of the gospel of Jesus, that man is in sin. That guy has not been forgiven. So that means the man born again is the man forgiven. Amen? Okay, follow me. Glory to God. What about 1 John 1, 9? That says, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. He's not talking about the repetition of saying, Lord, come and forgive. No, no. When he says, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us. That word confess there is the word in the Greek, homologio. Hallelujah. Which means to confess what Jesus has done to sin. What has Jesus done to sin? He nailed it to the cross. So that means if I believe, that is what he says. He's faithful and just to forgive me. So the child of God is not the one in need of forgiveness. The child of God is the one who has received God's forgiveness of sin. So God's forgiveness of sin is more of what we have received. It's more of a person. God's forgiveness of sin is a person, the person of the Holy Ghost. So when a man is born again, he receives God's Spirit, he receives God's forgiveness of sin. Hope you are following me. Amen? So your sins are not going to be forgiving you because you asked God to. No. Your sins are forgiving you because you are God's child. How about that? Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So don't allow Satan put you in a trap. My sins are forgiving you because I'm God's child. How about that? Amen? My sins are forgiving me because I'm God's child. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's it. We began looking at when we are gathered. And we said that at the background of these instructions within the 40 days is the gathering, right? When he said make disciples. When he said make disciples, at the background is the gathering. Glory to God. The background is the gathering. The gathering of believers. Right? Hallelujah. Is the instruction to gather. And that instruction to gather will come from where? Our gathering in Christ. Right? Our gathering in Christ. Glory to God. So we said the church of Christ is first our gathering in the new birth. That is to say, when we are born again, when a man gets born again, he's found where? He's found in Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus will say in John 16 verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I say, if you get every branch in me, he said, and here are the branches. Every branch in me which produces not fruit, he said, the Father takes away. And the one which produces fruit, said, the Father prunes. He says, if you get to verse 10, and I said, abide in me, and I in you. It's an instruction. Hallelujah. To abide in him. So that is when a man gets born again, he's found in Christ. Hallelujah. When a man is born again, he's found where? In Christ. Glory to God. He's found in Christ. When we're born again, look at Hebrews 12, quickly. Hebrews 12, verse 24, or from verse 23. Hebrews 12, 23. It is. Okay, let's go back to 22. It says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, Hebrews 12, 22. It says, ye are come unto Mount Zion, it says, the city of the living God. Where? He said, we are come unto Mount Zion. You see that? The city of the living God. He said, to an heavenly Jerusalem. You see that? To an heavenly Jerusalem. Said to an innumerable company of angels. Said to the general assembly. You see that? To the general assembly. And the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirit of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. That means when we get born again, we have come to who? We have come to Jesus. Hallelujah. When a man is born again, he has come to Jesus. So that means all of us together that are saved, irrespective of your church, once you are born again, whether you are in Celestial Church of Christ, right, or you are in Presbyterian Church, or you are anywhere, any city, any location, we are found where? In Christ. Hallelujah. That our gathering in Christ by the reason of the new birth is called church. Now, because of our gathering in Christ, when we gather together like this, it's called church. Never in scripture was a building called church, but our gathering is called church. Hope you're following me. Our gathering is called church. When we are gathered together like this, it's called church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's called church. Take note of that. Our gathering in Christ is called church. Glory to God. Glory to God. I would say the background of this is where, so that means, listen, that means when we are saved, when we are born again, we are born into a church. Hope you are following me. We are born again into a church, into a gathering. When we are born again, we are born again into a gathering. I would say the background of this will be the children of Israel live in Egypt. When they left Egypt, Egypt is the world, right? From the world. Egypt is darkness. They crossed the Red Sea into the wilderness. When they got into the wilderness, did everybody go his own separate ways? No. Everybody remained together. And Stephen will call it the church in the wilderness. You see that? So the church is our union together. Hallelujah. First in Christ, then our collective coming together. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Okay, let's proceed a bit. If that's church, now what did Jesus speak about concerning the church? Our gathering together. Matthew 18 verse 20. Matthew 18 20. He said, when two or three are gathered together in my name. This is that. Now the gathering must be in his name. Okay, follow me. Matthew 18:23. Matthew 20. When two or three are gathered together in my name. When you use in my name, means in my authority, right? When we are gathered together, we have come to worship. He says, there I am in the midst of them. So that means, when we are gathered together like this, who is in our midst? Who is in our midst? God is in our midst. Hallelujah. God is in our midst. Did you see that? When Ananias and Sapphira sinned, what did Peter say to them? Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 5. Let's see what Peter said. So you begin to understand what happens when we are gathered together. And then many times, you frown at people when you come to church late. Why? Because you don't understand why we are gathered. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 5 quickly. And Ananias and Sapphira. Now, chapter 5, are you there? Now, look at verse 3. When Ananias lied, look at what Peter told him. Say, and Peter said, Ananias, what has Satan filled her heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Was the Holy Spirit there when Ananias was talking? Well, literally. When Ananias was talking, did you see any physical person called Holy Spirit? Who was he lying to? He was actually lying to Peter in the front of the congregation. It was not Peter alone. It was in the church. And Peter, knowing that the church, when we are gathered together in the name of God, God is there. So Peter, knowing that God is there, the Holy Ghost is there, because we are gathered together. I used to say it like this when, as in years back, around 2006-2007, I used to say it this way, that we are the glory of God in the earth. So when we come together, we have a mass of glory. I usually say it like that. But what that actually means is, the Holy Ghost is in our midst. Do you get it? The Holy Ghost is in our midst. God's Spirit is here. So Peter, looking at Ananias, he said, what have you sinned against? Who? The Holy Ghost. Why? Because we are gathered in his name. So that means anytime we are gathered like this, God's Spirit is here. And there's something I'm going to show you today that you begin to see. Hallelujah. God's Spirit is here. God is in our midst. So that means, if God is in our midst, that means there's a way I should prepare for a Christian meeting. There are things I should do. Hallelujah. Except the God of this world has blinded your eyes, but you are born again. Hallelujah. So once a man is born again, he's born again. Hallelujah. So who is God? The God of this world has not blinded his eyes anymore. Because why? Because in the preaching of the gospel, the scales are taken off your eyes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's look at that critically. Like I said, very critical. So that means there's a way I should prepare for Christianity. There's a way I should come into a Christian gathering. Because since God is there, that means every Christian gathering can be an encounter. Not a joke. I'm going to teach you how to have an encounter with God's Spirit in the believer's meeting. In all believers' meeting. Hallelujah. It should be an encounter. It should be an encounter. They had a prayer meeting in Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verse 30. Look at it. Acts of Apostles chapter 30. They were praying from verses 23. Into 24, into 25, into 29, into 30. That was at verse 30. He said when they were done praying, said the place where they were was shaking. You see that? Hallelujah. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They had an encounter in a prayer meeting. Did you see that? In a prayer meeting. So that means there's a mindset you should have towards all believers' meetings. When I go to pray, I don't go to pray that I want to while away time. No. Hallelujah. Hope you're ready. Most times I get to pray, I get going out to pray, and let's say I'm going to pray for, say, 1 hour or 2 hours, and I'm going to pray. And I have in me what I need to pray for. Let's say I have like 5 things I need to pray for. For example. 5 things I need to pray for. Do you know most times I end up just praying 1 out of the 5. And 1 hour will be done. And I'm looking at, let me just extend it again to 2 hours. Why? There's no rush. There's no rush. Hallelujah. There is no rush. Because it's an encounter. Hallelujah. It's an encounter. You must see it as an encounter. It's a believer's meeting. What are following this? We are coming together like this. We can come together like this. And somebody is sick. Maybe at home. Maybe you are sick in your body. And you are here. Glory to God. And you are coming to church. You can say, as I get to church today, I will be healed. Nobody needs to lay hands on you to be healed. But because you know that it's an encounter, that God is here. God, I know I'll be healed. Just as pastor is just teaching, healing will come to me. Don't you know? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can be that smart to know. You can be that wise to know. Let me tell you something that I do. Let me tell you something that I do after I heard it. I began to act on it. Whenever a minister is preaching and he mentions forgiveness of sins, you know what I do immediately? I tie a receipt here. I quickly tie it to some high receipt. If I'm sick at times, I receive it, because anytime there is a forgiveness of sins being talked about, spoken about, what is the sign of forgiveness of sins? Healing. Did you see that? So Jesus will heal someone and tell the person, go and sin no more. Your sins are forgiven. What do you think is happening? Do you think go and sin no more, that the sickness that brought the sickness? No. He's trying to tell you healing is a sign of God's forgiveness of sins in the new birth. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So the go and sin no more will be concerning the new birth. So what is the gospel? The gospel of God's forgiveness of sins. Okay, follow me. So that means you can interchange it. God's forgiveness of sins, you have healing. Glory to God. So let's be smart about it. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. That means I must come to a believer's meeting, whether it's teaching meeting or prayer meeting, or maybe when songs are being ministered. So people, you know, pay attention to the songs. Pay attention to the songs. Hallelujah. Some people like songs because of the melody. No, not just melody. Hallelujah. Partition to the song. We are gathered together unto him. Unto the Lord shall be gathered all these people be. Oh, you think it's on the school song? No. It's songs in believer's song. Hallelujah. Okay, follow you. God is here. God is here. You know, let me shock some people. Okay, imagine as we are sitting down here. Now, and Joe Biden walks in. I'm telling you, some of us, we adjust our chairs like 10 times. Some people begin to form. They say, they will not cross their legs. Some people, their accent will change. You that will know you, that your grandma is like somebody that has fought with lions. You know what I mean? Your grandma is like somebody that has fought with lions. You have to say, how are you? You say, how are you? That Joe Biden walks in. Your accent will change. You say, oh, how are you? You say, oh, I'm fine. Why did you change your voice? Oh, it's Joe Biden, right? You begin to compose yourself. You will not remember you drank garri before coming to church. You say, what did you eat? Oh, I ate cassava flakes. So what is cassava flakes? You are just trying to teach yourself in garri and garri and okay, so come with this. What do you call it in school then? G1, I don't know. It's Gerion. Okay, I'll take Gerion. What's Gerion? It's a Greek word for garri and granite. You know? Right, because Joe Biden walked in. We will need to adjust that chair. All the stars will never let. I don't know what the movies will be watching. American movie will come to your brain. Glory to God. I don't want to be like that. I have my friend Cindy. I speak Patwa. For those of you who don't know, I speak Patwa. I'm forgetting it a bit, but I speak Patwa. You know what is Patwa? Don't worry about it. So I speak Patwa. So one day we speak Patwa to each other. Patwa is a Jamaican slang. Years back. So we're just talking, and when we get to talk, we don't talk English, we just talk Patwa. We like to talk in Patwa. Amen? Amen? So what I go on? I'm a man who knows when I'm going to Nigeria. All this kind of talk. So we just get talking and walking. A young guy just saw us. He was carrying dreadlocks. And I showed up. And I said, oh, bigger boy. You must to like Patwa. I said, yeah, who is this one? Who is this one? The people are smoking his way. Amen? So, I had less man. I just stood there and said, Tune speaks better than me though. So, the guy was not speaking Patwa. I didn't go inside. We were just trying to form, but I didn't even go inside the pattern, just laughing. At the end, he was not claiming he was born in Kingston. You know what is Kingston? You know what is Kingston? Kingston is in Jamaica. They were going, it's not only Kingston. He thinks you are joking. Anyway, but you know, he wants to, he has seen some set of people, and he wants to just, you know, anyway, but he's done. Let me show you, let me also shock you. There's someone that I didn't know. But the person has been following me on Facebook. So one day, I was in a particular area, and the person was busy doing some funny things. I don't understand what the person was doing. The person was busy doing some funny things. So as I showed up, You are just so from the heart. Ah, David, God is in Tenet. I'm telling you what you will do. Leave any other thing. If you're on top of a bike, you'll be telling the bike man, do you have, is it just 2 weeks? It is with me. Why? I'm going to see God. Don't do that. Your mind is saying, God, no, you are coming to see God and you are praying. Oh Lord, touch me today. Remember me, Lord. Watch that man. Let's say the bike man gets spoiled on the road, you will come down. You be jasper. You are not jasper. I want to run. God is in Tenet. You see that? God is in Tenet. That is a mindset. Because actually and truly, God is here. Hallelujah. But you know the problem with people is what we're going to come and see shortly. You are getting to see it shortly. It's a major issue with people. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Lie.
Amen. Chief?
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay.
Whenever I hear that sound, I know it's false.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, no, God is here. So, every section. Now imagine God is here and we are thinking we are gathered together unto the... How will you feel it? I mean, we are gathered together unto the... You are thinking of the meat you left inside the sea at home that you go back and eat. Amen. You are gathered together unto me. You are thinking about how they will beat my youth this afternoon. You are thinking about how Arsenal is going to lose this afternoon. So you are gathered together unto you. You are thinking of Salah. It's only Salah. Amen. But imagine God is here. God is here. Now, you are here and you are thinking we are gathered together unto you and God is here. How will you think it? So he will even kneel down. Oh, God. But you don't want to get something, right? You know he's an encounter. That is the mindset you should have. God is here. Now, listen. God is here, right? You are called. Fill him up. God is in Tenet. Will you leave alone? You carry people. Hey! If you begin to shout, God is in Tenet, go! Everybody come up, right? That is the mindset. God is truly in Tenet. Hallelujah. But people make mistakes or something. That's what we're going to see shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So every section, singing, praying section, giving is all an encounter. You can have an encounter in every section in the church meeting. Hallelujah. You can receive healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, since I know God is in our gathering, I have to set expectations. I have to set expectations as I'm going to church. I, as your pastor, I set expectations when coming to church. So I have to set expectations. And I will have to prepare. As I set expectations, I'm preparing. How do I set expectations? I set expectations by praying. Hallelujah. I'm praying for the meeting. Meeting is by two, and I'm praying since morning. Oh, Father, thank you, because today I will receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Today I will receive. Today I know I will be well. Today I know I will be healed. Today I just know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I should remember years back in the early 2000, that was around 2001. My brother was playing inside rain play, and then he fell down and had an injury on his head. Serious injury that couldn't heal. It couldn't heal. And he was looking as if he was going to carry that injury for the rest of his life. He couldn't heal. So they wanted to do surgery. But you know, we believed so much. We believed he was going to be healed. So we kept praying until he got healed. In a believer's meeting. In fact, the believer's meeting says, I'm going to cut it short here, but I'll take it up some other time. Hallelujah. You can have expectations through prayers. Through prayers. Doctor said there was no hope. But you know what? When men say there's no hope, there's hope. Hallelujah. With God. Hallelujah. There's hope with God. Hallelujah. So you set expectations by praying. You pray for the meeting. Hallelujah. You have to pray for the meeting. Look at Jesus. In Luke 3 verse 21, Jesus was going to be baptized by John. You know, people are just going there to jump inside water and see the swimming pool. Well, we say you are baptized. But Jesus is going to be doing the same thing. So that means the fact that somebody is not doing something right doesn't mean you should do it that way. Hallelujah. The fact that you grew up knowing the fact that the only thing you remember on Sunday morning is money, offering money. That's the only thing you remember on Sunday morning. Some people is clothes. That's why I don't have any clothes. There's an offering money. 20 naira, 30 naira, and you're going to church. That is all you know. You grew up that way. Just take your bed, iron, and go to church. Nothing else. The fact that that was how you grew up doesn't mean that is right. Hallelujah. Going to church is offering money is good. But that doesn't mean any other thing you're doing is fine. Word of God. Say, that is how I was trained to go to church. No, that is not how you should be trained to go to church. Word of God. You are trained to go to church. Eh?
Okay, my little baby, before I go home out of church, on Thursday and on Sunday, I wish I would pray together.
We must learn to set expectations. Oh, hold our hands and let's pray. We're going to church, right? And let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. We must learn to set expectations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how do we prepare for church? You pray. Glory to God. That is very vital. You pray. To pray for the service. Say, Lord, as I go to church, my needs will be met. As I go to church, my eyes will be open to see you. Hallelujah! Jesus was going to be baptized, and in Luke 3:21, the Bible says he was praying and going. Look at it. You are coming to church, you are gisting. You are gisting about somebody. You are gisting. And you are going to church, you are gisting. Now people will be coming to church, they will be thinking about the open bones. Hello, is that how to come to church? There's a way you come to church. Hallelujah. How about going to church and your master say kitiba lapatia? How the soul the tiba read that? That's how you go to church. You are praying. Hallelujah. You are in tune with what God is doing. That is how to go to church. Some people are going to church and they are costing keke man. You're going to do anything you want better for you. How? I mean, if you come down and carry your Bible. This is not what I've heard from say. If not because this letter I'm holding, I'm a big shake and come up with your life. Are you going to church? No! Hallelujah! No! With any distractions, they will show up with distractions. Hallelujah! Some people have said, why are you calling the KKM? He did not give me change. Ask how much is the change. You know that poverty is in the blood. How much is it? 20 naira, 50 naira. How? You're going to charge 50 naira. And you can't imagine if you just keep it, master. Because you know. Hallelujah. Because you know. Let's say, if you make it, some people say, don't allow me to unleash the demon inside of me. You have demon inside of you. So he said, don't allow me to unleash the animal in me. Which animal do you have? You have got the Holy Ghost in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes you know that in those fighting insulting, you don't bring your Bible.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. You just stop. And you're going to church. He said, you want to spoil my mood. How do you spoil my mood? But I'm giving it to you. The Bible says the kingdom of God somebody violence and violence secretly by force. They are not welcome. Hallelujah. We get the distraction, there will be distraction. But that will be even sometimes, let me tell you something. Sometimes, you know, Satan knows that you're going to church. That is when they will not bring light at home. They will not show your favorite channel, your favorite movies. You now be saying, should I go to church or should I go? You don't want to go. Let me just watch small of the Johnson. Small. Think just what small Nicodemus. Small. Ha ha! You are not praying. How? There will be distraction. But what, you know what you will do? I'm going to church. Hallelujah. I'm going to have an encounter with the Word and with the Spirit. I'm going to have an encounter with God. Hallelujah. No holding back. No stopping me. Go with the God. That is how you prepare for Christian meetings. Prayerfully. And when issues come, you just laugh at them. How about keeping the change? I started doing keep the change right from when I was in SS3, I'll be SS2. Well, how much is the change? $20. I'll not be, you know, it's embarrassing to me. I'm not standing, I'm not waiting. The Kekema is now running from place to place looking for $20. He's not doing that. How not? I saw somebody fight because of change, $20. $20 cannot even buy sweet again. The smaller sweet I'm gonna choose to leak. The thick one is $30. No, you will give my change though. Because even if it is you, you will not leave your change with me. That is poverty. And I refuse to be poor. Why are you asking? You're asking big man. No, that is poverty. Hallelujah. Who are you on? So learn to do. I taught you guys that before, right? Yes, but learn to do what? Leave the change. Learn it. You will not die now. Amen. Glory to God. See, sometimes that leave the change will have saved you anger. Well, of course, if you put your mouth there, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you pray, and you pray coming, right? Right?
Okay, let's move a bit.
So, the reason why people most times don't receive, that's what I'm going to. When they come to believers meeting, because they set their mind on spectacular things. They say, God is here. But they say, your mind is on spectacular things. It's too much of Nollywood. Nigerian movie sometimes that is happening on people's head. See, Nigerian movie, whenever you hear spirit, enter spirit, you want to see the glass. So you just be doing, God is here. There's something wrong with your brain. So the time we're praying one time like that, we were praying one day. And it was in the evening. The windows were open and we're praying. And there was this cool breeze that came in. Now I'm still one of the calendar. There was a sister that, you know, most of the time when I pray, my eyes are open. So she was praying, her eyes were closed. And I just saw, as soon as the calendar dropped, she just did like this. Why were you scared? How are you scared? Because you know what? People, and it becomes some of the things we learned when we were growing up. Growing up like this, when I was growing up, when we were in Sunday school, they tell us to shout to heaven. Our shout is to shout hallelujah, let the hallelujah get to heaven. Then when we shout, praise the Lord, say hallelujah, I say your hallelujah did not cross the ceiling. When your hallelujah cross the ceiling will shake. Shout, somebody shout, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. As long as we are shouting, I'm looking at the ceiling, will the ceiling fall down? If the ceiling falls down, who will die first? Yeah? So we wanted the ceiling to fall down so that we'll know that God was there or God is there. Now, that is spectacular. Hallelujah. Some people just want to be walking like this and they just hear a cock crow. And the cock will not be saying, when time is here, cuckoo, when time is here. You just want to see something spectacular. So say it is God. Say God, if you are the one, let thunder strike four times at this rain is falling. I will know it is God. People are always looking for spectacular. Amen? They just want something spectacular. Let me just be walking. And it's so much of Nollywood. As I'm just walking, let me just hear my name. Just as I'm just walking, let me just hear the name. Ayo. God, this is God. Come on. You are looking for the spectacular. Hallelujah. Like that cock is crowing. I want to be here. Anytime this year. Because you want to be here. No. Hallelujah.
Okay, you hear me?
No. Because, listen, we are looking for the spectacular. Rather, God is a spirit, right? Right? Uh-huh. So you don't set your mind on spectacular. Rather, you set your mind on the supernatural. Okay, you hear me? Supernatural. And encounters with God are always supernatural. Okay, you hear me? Always what? Supernatural, not spectacular. Hallelujah. Supernatural. Though sometimes the supernatural can be spectacular sometimes. The supernatural can be spectacular sometimes, but it doesn't have to be spectacular to be supernatural. The supernatural can be spectacular, but it doesn't have to be spectacular to be supernatural. Sometimes it can be spectacular and it is nothing. In 2 Kings, where we read, the Bible spoke about Elijah. He thought he could find God in the wind. He couldn't find God in the wild wind. He couldn't find God he didn't find God in the earthquake. He didn't find God there. Where did he find God? In the still small voice. Very supernatural, not spectacular. Okay, you ready? No, God wasn't found in the fire. Amen. But because so God is supernatural. God will be found in supernatural things. And supernatural things can be very, listen, supernatural things can be very simple. As I'm talking to you now, you know it's God's word you are hearing. Amen? You know it's God's word. And this is supernatural. In fact, most times, the supernatural will be found around the things that are consistent with men. Sometimes, like talking. Amen. Just supernatural. You go see supernatural. Sometimes when people want to see healing, they say, when there's healing, want to know it's healing. Healing! That is not God is here. No. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. They say, but before you be healed, the pastor has to call you outside. Now break your leg. Now say, hey, calm down. How about just touching it, right? Just touching it, and you get healed. Hallelujah. Whatever. Supernatural. So God will be found in supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that said, we say we have different kinds of meetings. Let me rush into my teaching today. We have different kinds of gathering, meetings. One we say, last week we say we have the teaching meeting, right? As believers, we say we have the what? Teaching meeting. Now we say the teaching meeting is the primary meeting of believers, right? I want us to get to something today. The primary meeting of believers is a classroom meeting where one person teaches, who is the leader or the pastor teaches, and every other person takes notes. Right? Remember, we say we have different kinds of meetings even in the secular world. You can't be going to school and you are carrying hoe and hammer. No bag, no Bible. It's wrong, right? You can't be going for sports and you are wearing suits. Everybody looking at you. Who is this one? Right? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You can't be going for a dinner party and you are wearing sportswear. What kind of dinner party is that? Hope you are following this. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. This day, with the invention of Ashwebi, you can't be going for a wedding party and you are wearing an Ashwebi of the other party that is happening by the corner. To a party that is happening here. Then we're looking at who is this old person. Right? Right? So there is an occasion and then how you should prepare for the occasion. So in a teaching meeting like you have, in a teaching meeting, which every church service must be a teaching meeting. Every church service, every believer's gathering must be a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. So you must come with your Bible, your pen and your notes. So that you take notes. It's a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. You don't go for a math class with an English textbook. You will fail it. Amen. Because when they ask you what is algebra, you will be writing grammar. Hallelujah. Amen. Primary meeting. So Jesus taught in Matthew 4:23. Just take down the scriptures and read them. Matthew 4:23, Jesus taught them in Galilee. He taught them. In Matthew 5:2, Jesus went up the mountain and he taught them, where you have the Beatitudes, right? Beatitude. He taught them from chapter 5 to chapter 7. So you see, teaching is not SMS, short message sermon.
This week is your week. He said, bah!
I like that man of God. He used to teach for just 5 minutes. He will hit the point. Pa, 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 pa. Teaching is not, it's not SMS. It's not short message sermon. Amen? It's not short. Jesus taught from chapter 5 to chapter 7. He taught them. In fact, at some point, when in another place, when he was done teaching them for 3 days, Jesus was teaching them. You know, today you say, does it mean I will not watch Telemundo this? It's not Telemundo. It's Mundo Tennis. Nothing. Say, I will not watch Telemundo. Jesus stopped them. 3 days. After the 3 days, Jesus now say, these people are hungry. Oh. Is this it? They did not, they fasted 3 days. They did not taste thing. Today, let me just tell you, fast from 6 to 12, you sleep from 6 to 11:30. Now wake up by 11:30. I start looking at the time. Then I say, okay, what I'm doing, I'm going to go and take my bed 15 minutes. Then 11:15. I'll now go to buy Indomie for 10 minutes. Now I start cooking it. So as I'm serving it, it'll be 12 o'clock. I'll not sleep. You're a lazy deliverer. You did not fast. Let me give you the hunger spike. Amen. There are two different things. Amen. Some people, they are fasting and they are always taking time. See, when you are fasting, the time when you just, if you have one cloth like this, you just carry it and put it under the bed. Time to fast. Amen. You don't check the time. Because you actually don't want time to think. I'm serious. As I have fast, I don't want the time to go. Just praying. It must not get you. Because they love to be done. Hallelujah. For some people, when it's 11:30, I already call it, mommy, please start preparing my food. I will still break. You are not fasting, Rara. Yeah, it's time to fast. Now you're doing things like a Mungo Park. You are watch sleep. You are doing like sleep. No. Why is it that? I'm not eating. Everybody knows they are fasting. So, hallelujah. Look at Mark 6. Jesus got to... let me give you the... Then rush to verse 6. But verse 5, he got to his own town and they began to yab him. Say, is this not the carpenter's son and this? And Jesus couldn't do any mighty works. Right? Because of their unbelief. What did he do in verse 6? He went in and began to teach them. So teaching is the cure for unbelief. Amen. Mark 2, 1 to 6. Teaching is the cure to unbelief. So Jesus taught. In John 13 to John 16, Jesus was teaching. Look at that. John 13 to John 16. Jesus is one teaching. Jesus taught from John 13, John 14, John 15 in one place. And history had it that he taught them from morning till evening. So when it was when I mean morning, for as early as 6 a.m., he taught them till like 9, 10 p.m. He was teaching them. And that day, listen, look up. That day, what you have in John 13 to John 16 is what Matthew summarized in Matthew 26. Amen? And called it the last defeat, which is the Passover. Mm-hmm. When they sat at the table and they ate the Last Supper. That Last Supper that was summarized as wine, drink, was a teaching from John 13 to John 17. I mean John 16. So as soon as Jesus was done teaching them in John 16, he went in to pray. As he was praying and coming out, he was being carried by Judas and the army. Hope you follow that. So he was teaching. So all those things you are seeing in Matthew, whatever, I said, this is my blood. He said, it's the blood of Jesus that they took. Some people now go to church, say it's Holy Communion. Some people that want to go to church, don't Holy Communion. What is doing you is wine. Wine you cannot buy at home. And that, how many of you have tasted that bread? You just put it in your mouth, it will melt. So you wonder, what is that? They know it's the blood of Jesus. That means the main thing. Jesus taught them. So what you call Holy Communion is not drinking. What you call Holy Communion is what? It's teaching. Look at Jeremy. He's teaching. He's not stop them. So when he was done teaching them, look at what did he teach them? Go to John 14. Read from John 13 into John 14. Get to John 14. Look at what he was telling them. In John 14, 16, he said, I'll pray the Father and give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 14, 16, he said, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because the world never know him, nor see him, but you know him, for he shall dwell in you and shall be with you. This is that, he said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. That is verse 18. He says, in that day, verse 20, he said, you will know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Who are we talking about? What was he teaching them about? The resurrection, and he was talking about the Spirit that they will receive. So, how will Matthew now put it? You remember, John did not mention wine. John did not mention bread. Matthew mentioned wine, mentioned bread. Why? Because John made you see that it was a teaching. You get me? So what would now be the result of the teaching? He now broke, at the end of the teaching, he now broke bread and gave to them. Said, this is my body. Which body is he talking about? What are you talking about? That is broken for you. His death, burial, and resurrection. This is that. Said, this is my blood. Give them wine. Said, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. And he referred to the blood as the Spirit. You see that? So what has he been teaching them? The Spirit. So he's not showing them that to see. For them to see that when they take the wine comes in, which is to represent his Spirit. That is to say, what he will receive in the resurrection, in the breaking of his body, will be his Spirit. That is what he wanted you to see. That is the reason for all those drinkers. So you shouldn't say, I'm saying drink. But I want to go and drink what? Are you drunk at? Hallelujah! It's a teaching. So what is the teaching? Be born again. You receive the Holy Ghost. That is his wine. Okay, what do you mean? That is the wine. Glory to God. Okay, what do you mean? So most of the guests of Panama people say, the same way too. Someone says, sir, someone has asked me this question also recently. He says, sir, I'm born again, but can a child of God, he put it this way, can a child of God who is born again, but I have not done baptism, go to heaven? Just told him, get up. Nonsense. Why? Because the same thing too. Listen to all our teachings. The same thing too is the baptism. The baptism of John is a message. Have I not taught you yet? Is a message. What is the message? Be born again. Hallelujah. So once you're born again, you don't need the water baptism. John's baptism is a message. I have it in this. Track 1, 2, and 3 of this teaching. So if you are here and you have not heard it, go and listen to track 1, 2, and 3. I spoke about it, right? John's baptism is for the message. Hallelujah. So teaching is very important. Hallelujah. In Acts 20, verse 31, Paul taught them for 3 years, morning and night. That church, they like teaching. See, this is Paul who teach them morning before they go to work. While they are coming back from work, you are eating, you are going to church. How is that church? That is church. That is what church is supposed to be. Hallelujah! In the morning before you go to work, you are in church. As a living church like this, by night, you are going to work. You are coming back, you are going to church. That is how church is supposed to be. Hallelujah! In the days of Kenny Hagin, sometimes they will have Christian meetings. Or a robot will have meetings for days. Monday into Sunday into week for 3 weeks, and they were having it morning and evening sessions, and the whole place will be filled up. But today, say, why are you going to? I'm going to church on Monday. Why are you going to go to church? And are you kill Jesus? What nonsense fuck is that? That's what church is supposed to be. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, as often as you see the day. That is, every day I wake up and it's day. Let's go to church. That's what church is supposed to be. And I know in the coming days. Hallelujah. God is reawakening that all over the nations. Amen. We are giving God more time. We're giving the work of ministry more time than we give any other thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we have another kind of meeting called the prayer meeting, right? Right? We say the prayer meeting is a practical class of the teaching meeting. Because the teaching meeting, you teach every other meeting in the teaching meeting, right? So the prayer meeting is like a practical class. We will come together and pray. We said this last week. Now let's dwell on the evangelistic meeting. I told us last week that I'll discuss a bit about it today, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow. Evangelistic meeting. The evangelistic meeting is when we gather together to go out to minister to the unsaved. We'll go out to minister to the unsaved. Some people say, I am not an evangelist, so I shouldn't go out to evangelism. It's wrong. It's a wrong word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm not an evangelist. That is only evangelist that should preach the gospel. That is wrong. Hallelujah. First of all, let's look at some things about an evangelist. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, verses 8. That means verses 5. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. It says, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. When he told him, do the work of an evangelist. What does he mean? Do the work of an evangelist. Let's start from verses 1 to see what the work of an evangelist is. Look at verse 1. He says, I cast it therefore before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. He said, preach the word. In the instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who is the day? Who is the day? Get back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 1 verse 1. 1 Timothy, I want you to just follow me fast. Chapter 1 verse 3. It says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest take charge that some teach no other doctrine. So, who is the day? The day will be the church, the brethren in Ephesus, believers. You see that? So, when he tells them to do the work of an evangelist, hope you're following me, it will be towards believers. You see that? The work of an evangelist will be what? Towards believers. Which believers? The believers in Ephesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it tells him to do it because of the what? There was false doctrine already coming in. Look at chapter 1 verse 3, that they preach no other gospel. Right? If we read that chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, they also speak about the fact that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lot, they will heap up teachers having itching ears. Do you get me? So there was already false doctrine. So it tells them to do the work of an evangelist. So what is the work of an evangelist? Towards believers. Right? Right? Is it towards believers? Towards believers. One. Take note of that. If you get to Ephesians 4, verse 11, there's something you need to see. Remember, he did not call Timothy an evangelist. He said, do the work of. Mark that in your Bible. Because it will come alive even till next week. Mark that. Now look at Ephesians 4, verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles. Now, people have an issue with that because they say he gave some an apostles. Well, Dr. You use the word some there. You're not referring to persons. No. Amen? You're not referring to persons. Don't interpret scriptures today with your world today. Scripture was not written in English. That wasn't written in English. It was written in their language and in their world. Right? Imagine you open your Bible today and you see Twitter. Will you believe that? Because there's no Twitter. In their world, there was nothing like Twitter. There was nothing like Twitter. There was nothing like Facebook. There was nothing like this lover. Man, there was nothing like email. Talk about that? So you have to go back and read it in their world. Right? So when you use the word some, there was no referring to person. Actually, the word some there was refer to what? Functionality. Function. So he said, he gave some apostles. He said some prophets. He says some evangelists. He says some pastors, teachers. Why? Come on, look at your Bible. That's why you have your Bible. Look at your Bible. I'm reading your Bible. Ephesians 4:11. He says, and he gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Why? The next verse 12. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Did you see that? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means in Ephesians 4:11, the role of an evangelist is for the equipping of the saints. Is that believers? Is that believers? So the saints are believers. The saints are not those who are dead. No, the saints are believers. Come here, follow me. Say I'm a saint. Come on, say I'm a saint. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once you're born again, you are a saint. Why? The Bible says your sins are forgiven you. Ha ha! Glory to God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, we are sanctified. We are sanctified. Say, I'm sanctified. Hallelujah. A man who is sanctified is a saint. Glory to God. So the ministry of the evangelist is towards the saints that you've seen. Listen to this. So that shows that the evangelist is more of a function than a person. It's more of a function than a person. See, this saying like this will be very vital in understanding the word evangelist. Is a functionality. Nobody in scripture is called an evangelist. No one in scripture. Oh, God, look at that together. This person is an evangelist, or he is the evangelist. No. Hallelujah. It's a functionality. It's a function. What are you hearing me? It's a function. It's not a title. It's a function. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But in Acts 21 verse 8, let's see something. I just said something that I know one is called an evangelist. But let's see something. Something that stares us in the face. Acts 21 verse 8. It stares us in the face. Let's look at it. It says, and the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. But I thought he said no one is called an evangelist. Right? Aha. We're going to see that now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke called Philip and he said, the evangelist. He didn't say an evangelist. He said, the evangelist. And when he said the evangelist, he said one of the seven. Right? So where do you find the seven? Acts of Apostles chapter 6, when they called for the seven men who would serve tables. You see that? Part of them is Stephen, the other person is a group who has Philip, right? Right? So when he says that, part of the seven, your mind goes to Acts of Apostles chapter 6. Somewhere else again, when he says the evangelist, your mind goes again to Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Rush to Acts 8. Stay in Acts 8, so we're going to stay there for a while. Acts 8 and Acts 11. Look at Acts 8 from verse 1. What does see the role of an evangelist? So we see first of all, an evangelist has a role towards believers first. Right? Right? But now another person will hear another person called an evangelist. So we want to investigate. Hallelujah. Let's investigate. Glory to God. Amen. So let's see this. Glory, 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 glory. Acts 8:1. And Saul was consented unto his death. And at the time there was a great persecution against the church rather, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. This is that they were scattered. Who was scattered? All the disciples scattered. Did you see that? Eh? Look at verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his bearer and laid lamentation over him. Look at verses 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere being what? Preaching the word. All of them that were scattered. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. You see that? He went to a city and preached Christ unto them. Watch that. Go to chapter 11. He made the same assertion here again. This is 19. Acts 11:19, it says, and they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word, but preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Did you see that? And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. So he gives you a clue to the answer of church. And he says, it started from Acts 8. Stephen went out too. You see that? When they were scattered abroad, Stephen too. Yup, you are following me. There was persecution and they went out and preached everywhere.
You see that?
Everywhere. Now, who went to them? Philip. Acts 8 verse 5. Back to Acts 8 verse 5. Philip. And Philip went out of the city of Samaria and preached. Did you see that? Verse 6. The whole city heard Philip. Verse 7. Unclean spirits came out. Verse 8. There was great joy in that city. Did you see that? There was great joy in that city. So, Philip, who was called the evangelist, was called that name based on the function where in Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Okay, follow me. Based on what? The action in Acts of Apostles 8. Also, we'll find Philip and the Ethiopian Enoch again. Because these were the two places Philip was mentioned before Acts 21. And the Ethiopian Enoch. He ministered to the Ethiopian Enoch. So that means, Wonderful lady. Hallelujah. That means Philip ministered to unsaved people. If Philip ministered to unsaved people and yet he was referred to as the evangelist. Watch that word, the evangelist, not an evangelist. Rather than the evangelist. And when they say the evangelist, it's just an abbreviation for what Acts 8 experience. So that you know the Philip is talking about. Hope you're following me. It's not a title. And he was carrying about, oh, I'm Philip the evangelist. No. It was for reference. Hope you're following me. It was for reference. And he called him Philip the evangelist. So that means, if we are seeing again that the role of an evangelist is also to be unsaved, that means the word evangelist is a word we have to critically look at. Right? Because we've seen that first of all it's towards the saints, the believers, and now we're saying it again in the book of Acts towards unbelievers. That means we have to look at it again. Hallelujah. So let's look at that word evangelist. The word evangelist is the Greek word euangelistis. 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 In some another word, euangelizo. Euangelizo is used for the good news, the gospel. Good news. So, when you use the word euangelistis, it implies a bearer of the good news. One who bears the good news. One who bears the gospel. You see that? Hallelujah. One who preaches the gospel. So, in Acts 4:23, well, I asked us to read earlier on, we find out that Jesus went about all Galilee preaching and teaching in their synagogues. Jesus went about preaching and teaching. You see that? Went about preaching and teaching. Now, that act of went about preaching and teaching is the act of an evangelist. So Jesus was an evangelist. Okay, follow me. As a function. Okay, follow me. Okay, following that. In Matthew 1:14, let us look at all this together. Matthew 1:14. Let's see Matthew 1:14. Sorry, Matthew 3:3, not 1:14. Matthew 3:3, sorry. I guess I'm missing these things. Up! A second. Give me a second. Okay. Sorry. Matthew 8:1. And when he was called down from the mountain, great multitude followed him, and behold, there came a leper and a life like that. So, why did I eat? Sorry. Even me, I'm struggling to read my writing. Amen. And seeing the multitude, he went up to the mountain and said, and when he was said, the disciples came to him and opened his mouth and taught them. Did you see that? He taught them. Did you see that? In Matthew 9:36. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Is that? Look at Matthew 9:36. He was moved with compassion on them, and because they were fainted and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, and said unto his disciples, your harvest truly is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. And when he was done saying that to them, what did he do in chapter 10? He sent his disciples. Is that so? Jesus sent his disciples to go and preach. Look at verse 5. At this 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not the way of the Gentiles and into the city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. But rather go to the lordship of the house of Israel. Verse 7, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Jesus, we saw Jesus as the evangelist, and Jesus is sending his 12 disciples to go preach to as evangelists. You get me? So they are going preaching as evangelists as a function. So that act of going out to the unsaved is called the function of an evangelist. Hope you are following me. Amen? Amen? So it will not be wrong if I now carry the name Evang. There's a guy in school who call Evang. He's just a short form of evangelist. Evang. Evang. Lovely guy. Because he was Evang. Amen. Imagine not changing the evangelist in Baptist. Doesn't make sense. Amen. Just a functionality, not a title. What is following me? He sent his 12. In Luke 10, verse 1, he sent 70. Luke 10, 1. And after this, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before. He said, into every city and every place, whether he himself would go. Did you see that? He sent people to do his task. And in sending them, they were bearing the burden of what? Or they carried, they bear the function of a who? Evangelist. What are you following me? What are you following me? Evangelist. So when he now resurrected in Mark 16, when he sent them, go and preach the gospel, with the disciples of the evangelist, will they do the work of an evangelist? Will they do that work? So when he said, go preach the gospel, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned. That is, go make great disciples. That is Mark, right? That would be for them to do the work of an evangelist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in the resurrection, I have in my notes, the instruction which will have as great commission is to preach the gospel, right? For them to be his evangel. His evangelist in all the nations of the earth in the preaching of the gospel. Hallelujah. Which we would say earlier on, we said it earlier on, that instruction at the background is a what? Is a what? Is a guardian. So that means he has sent them as evangelists. Right? Right? And at the background is where? The guardian. So that means their role as evangelists will be in the gathering and to the world. Hope you're following that. Will be where? In the gathering and to the world. So that means the role of an evangelist, the role of an evangelist will be seen in the gathering of believers and through the believers to the world. We'll explore more on it again next week. Hallelujah. We'll explore it again beyond this again next week. Hallelujah. You see that is the role of an evangelist is one towards the believers, right? And through the believers to the world. So, in the preaching of the gospel, we are all evangelists. Hallelujah. So once a man gets out to preach the gospel, he takes on the functionality of an evangelist. Hope you are following me. Amen. Amen. So we have the healing meeting. Lastly, we have the Holy Ghost meeting. The Holy Ghost meeting. So we are getting to the Holy Ghost meeting. I would say in a Holy Ghost meeting is a believer's town hall meeting where the gifts of the Spirit are in full demonstration. The needs of everyone is met. And we all living through the door will live with joy. Right? So in the Holy Ghost you will have joy. We have what? Joy. And that's where we're dwelling. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in the Holy Ghost we will say the gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. The gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. Gift of the Spirit and full demonstration. Now, what did we say we receive in the new birth? When a man gets born again, what did he receive? What did we receive first? The forgiveness of sins, which is the Spirit of God, right? That means in the new birth, when a man is born again, he has the Spirit of God. Right? They have the Spirit of God. They have the Spirit of God. Amen. In the new birth, what we have is the Spirit of God. And in the Holy Ghost meeting, will take up the Spirit within upon. Amen? In the Holy Ghost, what do we take? We'll take up the Spirit within. We have the Holy Ghost in us, right? So we'll take up that Spirit within us upon us. Hallelujah. We'll take up that Spirit within us upon us. Upon us. That is what happens in the Holy Ghost. We minister one to the other. We minister amongst ourselves. Every need is met by the power of God. So when we take the gift of the Spirit, so that means in the Spirit, yeah, the gift of the Spirit in full demonstration is a taking of what we have inside of us. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the gift of the Holy Ghost, what is the gift of the Holy Ghost? What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? You know, sometimes, and this is what we'll kick it off from next week. We'll try as much as we can to start off from here next week and talk about the evangel again. And just start off from there. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the gift of the Holy Ghost, everybody look up. When you ask some people, do you have gifts from God? And some people say, yes, they have. What is your gift? In fact, that somebody, what gift do you have from God? They say, gift of dreaming. That's a very stupid answer. The gift I have from God is I know how to interpret dreams. I slap you. What do they know about Spirit, about Holy Spirit? The first that will come to their mind, what do you know about Holy Spirit? What are the things you know about the Spirit? The first that will come to their mind is bad spirit, evil spirit. I told you about a guy, one years back, I was asked him to come and preach in church. Years back, 07, 08, 09, within that period, I wanted to come and preach in church. No, 06, 07, 08, within those 3 years. I used to come and preach in church and he just stood up and say, everybody close your eyes, bad angel is passing. Everybody knows about angel. But what is it about spirit? It's God that they know. What is it about spirit? It's some God that they know. What is it about gift of the spirit? The gift I have from the spirit is singing. I give you knock. So when they get any gift, their mind goes to talent. You think I'm talking drama series? No. What do you know about the gift of the spirit? What gift you have from the Spirit? So the gift I have from the Spirit is how to be a mathematician. How to draw. What nonsense is that? Where did you get that from? Can that be gift from the Spirit? No. See. Talent has developed over time, but talent is not the gift of the Spirit. When you hear the word gift of the Spirit, that word gift, let's look at something. In 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's look at the gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12. Now it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Is this it? Concerning what? Spiritual gifts. Brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Now that was gift there is talented. I've told you many times. But let's look at that. This being there doesn't spoil anything because it's still going ahead to discuss this. You hear me? But in an advanced course, that might actually discuss some things. But in this class, it's okay for us to have this. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have. Now, that word ignorant there has to do with a willful ignorance because in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 7, he said they came behind with no gift. That means they understood the gift, but you're talking about more of flowing with it. More of your attitude towards the gift, right? But, you know, some people, this one is real fear, some people don't even know anything about the gift of the Spirit at all. About the gift of the Spirit at all. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Gift of the Spirit. Now when you hear the word gift then, is the word you find in this. The Bible said they came behind in no gift, 1 Corinthians 1:7. Now that word came behind in no gift is the word charisma. 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 It's from the word charis. C-H-R-I-S. Charis. Charisma. C-H-R-I-S-M-A. Charis means what is freely given. What is freely given. Charis. Where you have the word grace. You understand? Grace. Charis. What is freely given. So charisma. Well, not yet charisma. Someone corrected that. Not charisma. It's charisma. Anyone? Amen. Charisma. So when you hear the word charisma, it's actually what is freely given that is yours. Something that has been given to you that is now yours. So it deals more with not just how it was given, which is free, but this time is now yours for you to work with. Amen. So that means the gift of the Spirit has been given to you. It's now how you work with it. Hope you are following me. The gift of the Spirit. So quickly. I'm not in a rush to get into that teaching today. Into it, but we'll get into it fully. Hallelujah. So that means we said the gift of the Spirit are in full demonstration. Just wait. Now, before we get going, what does Paul say in verse 1? He says concerning spiritual. So that means one, the gift is spiritual. You see that? The gift is what? Spiritual. It's a spiritual gift from God's Spirit. Now, let's see how does Paul use the word spiritual. Our word spiritual there is the word pneumaticos. Pneumaticos. Pneumaticos means things in the Spirit, of the Spirit, or from the Spirit. In the Spirit, of the Spirit, from the Spirit. In the Spirit, of the Spirit, from the Spirit. Now when you hear the word pneumaticos, there's something around that you have to read about, which is called pneuma. Pneuma means spirit. So what has Paul been talking about spirit? You have to look at it. What was he talking about spirit? Because for you to talk about things of the Spirit, you must have discussed spirit before. Okay, follow me. So let's look at what Paul spoke about spirit and then what he said about pneumaticals. So when you begin to talk about things of the Spirit, we'll begin to flow together as we flow. Hallelujah. Then we'll pick it up from here next week. Glory to God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2. Are you there? Look up from verse 9. It says, but it is written, I have not seen. Let us hear it. Let us hear them to the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Stop. Go to verse 4. Let's start from verse 4. I just remember. Verse 4. That is very vital. It says, my speech and my preaching will not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Is that Paul is saying his teaching, his preaching is not with man's wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit power. Now, in that place, Paul tells us the work of the Spirit. He says, the work of the Spirit is in the demonstration of the Spirit power. That's the word apodexis. Apodexis is just like this. Look up. Apodexis is like when there is darkness here, and you shed light, or you put light. What happens to that place? That place becomes flooded with light. There's no fight. Light does not fight with darkness. Okay, follow me. Light shines and darkness disappears. So he says when he preaches the gospel, that's what Paul is saying. When he preaches the gospel, what happens? The work of the Spirit is to shed light. So that means a man's first contact with the Spirit of God is when the gospel is preached. Okay, follow me. So my first contact with the Spirit of God was when the gospel was preached to me. So when you stand to preach the gospel to someone, what the person is getting in contact with is not you but the Spirit of God. Okay, follow me. Remember I told you it's supernatural and not spectacular. Right? Supernatural. The encounter with God's Spirit is supernatural. Supernatural. Hallelujah. So Paul said, when was the first time you have a contact with the Spirit of God? The first day, your first time is when the gospel was preached to you. Hallelujah. So if I get to verse 9, I say, I have not seen, nor ear heard. Let us enter into the heart of man, the thing which God has prepared for them that love him. For God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Is it the same Spirit we had contact with when the gospel was preached? Yes. Right? By his Spirit. Then the Spirit touches all things. Say, hear the deep things of God. Say, for what man knoweth the things of a man, read your Bibles. What man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Say, the same knoweth no man the things of God except the spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received. I hope you are there. Now we have received. Not the spirit of this world. Listen. What have we received? Not the spirit of this world. We saw what the spirit of this world is last week, right? The spirit of this world is called the prince of the power of the air. It's called the god of this world. It's called wickedness in high places. Right? Right? Now I say we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. You see that? So what have we received? The spirit of God. What have I received in the new birth? So when I get born again, what have I received? That I may know those things that are freely given to us of God. Right? Verse 13. Which things we speak? Not in the words in which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Listen. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. What was he saying? What does he call spiritual first? When I preach the gospel. Right? So he calls the gospel spiritual. When he says, my teaching and my preaching are not with the entire words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now, we said a man's first contact with the Spirit of God was when the gospel was preached. So the gospel is spirit. Hope you're following me. Amen? Amen? The gospel is spiritual, rather. So he calls the gospel spiritual. Say, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So what does he call? What were the two things he used spiritual for? I mean, used spirit for? The gospel and what I received in the new birth. So when he had comparing spiritual with spiritual, was referring to the things of the spirit, which is the gospel. Information of this spirit, the gospel. And what does he call spiritual again? He calls the man who is born again spiritual. So, who is spiritual? The man born again. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Glory to God. I remember one useless talk like that when I was in school. I was taking my bed in the hostel. That was in the university of 2006. I was taking, 2006, yeah. So I was taking my bed in the bedroom. Just enjoying myself, taking my bed, and I was singing songs. You know, that's when you learn to, that's when most of people remember God and sing songs. I was singing songs and speaking in tongues. And somebody was in the next bedroom. You know how in your university bedrooms are. So, the guy now says, hey, you shut up there. I said, what God? In my head, I like, what God? I used to see myself as prophet of the spirit. That was not 2006. That was 2007 or 2008. That prophet of the spirit. I'm like, who is that? Continue singing. And I say, you. Then I know we are in the spirit. I sing the spiritual song. And I laugh. I say, even if they send you come. I say, okay, we'll see in the spirit. I say, we'll see in the night. I don't know this stupid. But I wouldn't have even replied. I just have continued speaking in tongues and singing them. So, but because I'm spiritual, I'm not even afraid. Because I'm spiritual. Amen. See, I'm spiritual. See, when I say I'm spiritual, I'm not trying to say you should not be sitting like Avatar. So I want to enter spirit. No, you're not entering anywhere. Amen. Amen. I want to enter spirit. Ask Pastor Garba, he knows that word. How do you enter spirit? How do you buy any name more? Nothing. How do you enter spirit word? Which kind more you want to enter? Nothing. You are spiritual already. Hallelujah! Amen? But you are spiritual already. You are not entering anyway. You are spiritual. Amen? So, Paul says you are spiritual. Look at chapter 3 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. I should be rounding up here. 1 Corinthians 3 1. It says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Look at what he called them. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. So that means they are spiritual people. Amen. Amen. That means the child of God by default. The child of God by default is spiritual. You are by default spiritual. Say, I'm spiritual by default. Say, I'm spiritual by default. So that means if I'm spiritual by default, the things of the spirit are things of my spirit. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Amen. When you hear concerning spiritual gift, so where will be the gift? Spiritual. Right? Who is spiritual? Who is a spiritual man? I'm a spiritual man. Say, I'm a spiritual man. So that means the things of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, are gifts of our spirit. And we're going to see it next week. Hallelujah. We're going to sit next week and we'll begin to take of the Spirit within upon us. And I know one thing for sure. I know one thing for sure. Amen. I know one thing for sure. We shall be turned to another man. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, this week I was praying and getting prepared for meeting and just praying. See, something was done in me. And I want to tell you, see, you are deaf to the things of the Spirit. You've not seen it all. I, as a pastor, have not seen it all. They are dead. Hallelujah. They are dead. I know what? I long for them. Hallelujah. I know something. More revelation gift. Seeing and knowing. After this teaching, you see more. You will know more. Hallelujah. I don't know how to explain it. But just like Bro Hagin explained it, you will see and know. You see, especially as regards the discerning of spirits, in the coming days, you will be sharper with it. You will be able to discern more. In the coming days, I see. Hallelujah. The gifts of the Spirit. You know, you just set out in tongues. And you begin to see. You just begin to see and know. You not necessarily just know supernaturally. You just know things supernaturally. You just know things supernaturally. Say, wow, how did you know? Just supernatural. Hallelujah. Say, I know things supernaturally. In fact, see, it is also function like this, that before things will happen around you, concerning your family, concerning your loved ones, you know what? You will know. God will show you. Hallelujah. You will know. You will see and know. Sometimes then, God will show you so that you will pray about it. Sometimes so that those things will not happen. But because God has shown you, it will not happen. You understand me? Sometimes God will just make you pray about it. And then, so that you just see. Sometimes God is showing you ahead of time so that you will just know. I remember there was a time Pastor Shegun was preaching. And then he said, before he got up to preach, he said, God showed him that in that teaching there will be somebody in that meeting that as he's teaching, the person will stand up and leave. He mentioned the brother. In fact, he spoke about the person, said, told him where the person would sit. He just knew. And then he asked the Lord, what should I do? And the Lord said, I'm just showing you so that you would know. Did you get so that you would just know? And as he was just teaching, somebody stood up and left. That same place, that same spot. Amen. You see, God just showed us that he would know. Amen. Sometimes God might show you things now, you pray about it. And you just pray about it and that thing never happens. Not that you see something, some people begin to broadcast it in Facebook Live. Ha ha. No. Amen. They are getting wider. As we gather out to flow with the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The things of the Spirit are things of your Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are gifts of your Spirit. So next week, amen, you will see and you will know. Hallelujah. You will give tongues and you will give interpretation. And everybody will do it. You will not do it amongst yourselves. You will stand up and do it. Hallelujah. There will be that spirit of seeing and knowing. Hallelujah. You know we're getting closer to believers' convention. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you learned something today?